Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA. First week of playoffs are chugging along. Got some interesting things going on and deployed at the playoffs in Brooklyn, where she was at the game last night. Back on the trail, Brooklyn, Philly last night. Jackie McMullen. Hello, Jackie. How you feeling?
Good morning, Brian. I am managing just fine. Thank you, my dear.
Very good. And in Salt Lake City, following the Jazz Rockets, it's not been much of a series so far, but he's clear and free as a whistle. No warrants for his arrest in Utah is Ban McMahon. None that we know of, at least.
Why would I have warrants for my arrest anywhere?
Sometimes you get banned.
I'm not going to... Okay, that's a lot different than a warrant for my arrest.
Thank God your juvenile record.
Yes. Okay, that's a lot.
Embrace it. Embrace it, Tim. Embrace the image. Embrace it.
Thank God your juvenile record was expunged.
Thank God all of our juvenile records were expunged. Let's just be clear on that. Okay, continue.
My record is clear. You'll never find it. It's been wiped away.
Yeah, Jack and I enjoyed life.
Right, you're not kidding.
I'm not denying anything. Not saying a word.
Jackie, you were at the game last night, where I thought when Embiid was scratched, mm-hmm. I thought, man, the Sixers are in trouble. I think they're in trouble in the series anyway. I was not encouraged by games 1 and 2, even though they won game 2. And then the Sixers came out. Simmons played great. They got a great all around performance, put up 130 on the Nets in their building. What did you see in that one?
Well, Simmons was spectacular. Just spectacular. Made great decisions. You know, everyone's talking about the 31 points. He had 9 assists too. Tobias Harris did exactly what they hoped he would do and when they got him. And you know, Jimmy Butler, his numbers weren't super gaudy. He was really valuable too. What I saw was, so what do you do when Embiid is out? And they decided, well, let's pick up the pace. And it was a really good decision. And what I also saw, and I think we're seeing it through all these series, you know, there were so many interesting things that happened in game 1, favorite teams that lost. But what always carries the day in the postseason? You guys know the answer. It's experience. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a young Brooklyn Nets team that isn't really quite ready to deliver the punch in the mouth that they needed to on a day which was their first playoff game in, I don't know, a whole bunch of years. And the young guys looked young. Not D'Angelo Russell, but pretty much everybody else. Well, actually, LeVert played pretty well, too. But overall, I just saw experience and guys that, you know, this Embiid thing is worrisome. Let's be real. Very, very worrisome. And they can't go too far without him. But this was a really, really big win for them. Really big.
I mean, Jackie, let's just be honest. He's only played about a dozen games, give or take, since the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
They've been shutting him down.
He's discouraged.
They've been shutting him down off and on. They do not have a history of, how do I want to put this? The Sixers organization does not have a history of transparency when it comes to injuries. They keep shutting him down, bringing him back, shutting him down, bringing him back. They're calling it tendonitis. They signed Greg Monroe late in the season, which to me, I mean, not that Monroe would be like, oh, he's going to replace Embiid, but to me was a indication that they were worried about his availability because, as you know, if you're going to prepare for the Celtics, you've got to have bigs. Jackie, he's obviously hurt. I don't know the severity of its hurt. I don't have any information on the severity of it. This is a 1-1 playoff series. Could be a vitally pivotal game, and he can't play.
He wanted to play.
And he wanted to play, let me tell you. I mean, I saw him at shoot-around, talked to him briefly there. He talked with everybody before the game. He really wanted to play. I watched him warm up when he went out to the court to warm up before the game. He said he wanted to try and see. But you know what? That's when I knew he wasn't going to play because when he was warming up, he was taking fall-away 18-footers. If you really thought you could try to play, what would you do? At least if it were me, I'd be getting in the post
situations.
And trying to... Yeah, you'd be trying to pivot off that knee. I really feel for him. You know, he did everything right to get himself into the all-star season that he's had. He did everything the team wanted him to do. But here's the chicken and the egg, guys. When you don't play that many games after the all-star game, what happens? Your conditioning suffers. And when your conditioning suffers, you gain weight, especially when you're a guy that big to begin with. And then you become too big and it puts more pressure on your knee, but you can't do the conditioning you need to get the weight off because that hurts the knee. And that's where they are right now. And it's worrisome. I really feel for Joel Embiid right now.
McMahon, he was on my MVP ballot. I mean, so you're losing an MVP. Philly may get it through this series because they've just got more talent. But, you know, I was listing them as...
They can't beat the Raptors without him. And
no way.
Again, if he's missing this game, pivotal game three, on the road, couple days off, like, this is going to be an issue through the whole playoffs. And I think at best you hope, well, he can play maybe 80% of the games. But no, this is terrifying. I do feel like Tobias Harris's ridiculous performance has been overshadowed. You know, there was the Ben Simmons storyline where Jared Dudley is giving studio level analysis, except for he's on the other team. I mean, it's like he's auditioning to come work for us or TNT. Which I appreciate, and I thought his quote was accurate.
Almost good as the analysis Durant had this week, and now analyzing the Clippers defense, and he's giving advanced stats, but go ahead.
But, you know, so Ben Simmons was ridiculous last night, got a bunch of attention, but, I mean, Tobias Harris, what more could you hope for from a guy who you give up a ton at the trade deadline to go get? 29 points, 16 rebounds, 6 of 6 from 3-point range. You know, with Embiid out, they needed somebody else to step up and have a big game. And you know, I thought he answered the bell just as much as Simmons did.
You know who else stepped up? Who was in that trade? Boban.
He's not a human victory cigar anymore. No way.
No, I will just say from my, you know, I was sort of a closet Clippers guy all year because I just went to a bunch of Clippers games and. You know, the thing about him is that, like, there are some games and some matchups where you're just like, my God, this guy could be a starter and average 20 and 10 in this league. And then there are other times when he just doesn't seem to be able to do anything. Like, you know, with the Clippers this year, as an example, Doc started him for a dozen plus games or maybe even 18, 20 games. And then he just completely took him out of the rotation because he's just sometimes he's there and sometimes he's not. And regardless of him filling in minutes, Jackie, at the big spot, which they need with Embiid dinged, he's scoring, which they need off the bench. This team has no firepower off the bench, at least consistent firepower. They need the bench points, and he's doing it these last two games at least.
Well, and you know what? They're using him, in my opinion, wisely. They're using him judiciously. They're not asking. You know, they didn't put him in the starting lineup. In place of Embiid, they put Monroe there. Right. By the way, Monroe played pretty well too. Just want to point out. And I talked to Greg.
He works hard. He's not a good defender, but he works hard.
And look at the list of teams he's played for in the last calendar year. It would make you dizzy. But I was joking with him yesterday at shoot around because I said, wow, I'm surprised the Celtics let you go because Al's a little banged up. Aaron Baines is habitually banged up. So I was surprised. And it was Tobias, I guess, who was sitting there. He said, we like him right where he is because, to your point, they could forecast some of this. Now, I will say this about Embiid. If I'm the Sixers, I don't care if he's ready to play Saturday. I'm not playing him Saturday. I'm sitting him Saturday. I'm not playing him. I'm going to try to get him as much rest as I can. But again, I go back to my chicken and egg scenario. By doing so, what happens? The conditioning gets worse. And it's a really tough situation to be in. But I like the way they're managing Bowman. It's kind of like with the Warriors, right? You're not going to play Bogut 30 minutes a game, right? That's crazy. You're going to play him about what? 14 to 16 minutes a game? About that.
But you can't play Boban 30 minutes a game unless you're in the Vegas Summer League and he gets 10 fouls.
No, you don't want to play that.
He fouled out in 18 minutes. That's impressive.
Right. But that's it, man. You don't want to. Oh, I can relate to that. I fouled out. I fouled out two games in one day once. But anyway,
Jackie, those records
I've been banned from pickup games for fouling too much.
Yeah. Those records were not expunged.
By a sensitive, by a sensitive Dallas Sports Talk radio host.
There you go.
2 weeks ago.
But anyhow.
That's legendary. By the way, that's legendary, that situation. McMahon, you mentioned Jared Dudley. While I appreciated it, and I was on the jump this week, and we certainly were happy to have the content, with all due respect, I like Jared Dudley. I've known him for a long time. He's been in the league a long time. Ben Simmons is not average in the half court. He's not as good in the half court as he is in fast break. That I will agree with. In fast break, he sometimes looks like Magic Johnson. He is not average. He could be better, for sure. But I think that was proven as well last night.
I don't think Jared Dudley, do you think he was trying to do headline? I don't think he was. This is just Jared.
No, I think he was. I love him because he's honest.
Always.
And so maybe he might want a redo on the word average.
Maybe.
Like if he says, if he says he's unbelievable in transit or whatever the word was, but not as dominant in half court. Like nobody blinks. Nobody that quote. I mean, it doesn't make headlines and all that. I think he might have wanted to poke the bear a little bit. I think he might have wanted to take a little jab at Simmons and see, hey, does this kid have the psyche? And
well, I don't know about that. I mean, I think Jared Dudley just. The reason I love him, I covered Jared at Boston College. Guys, he was the last scholarship player. Al Skinner was filling out his roster and had a kid that he thought he was going to get, and in the end, they couldn't get him in, and he had one spot left. And this kid from California who looked like a Pillsbury doughboy, he's like, all right, I'll give him a shot. No, seriously. And he became one of the greatest, most exciting BC players I've ever seen. And that, the list is long. There's a lot of great players that came through Boston College. But this is who Jared's been from day one. And I'll give you a little tease. Wait till you hear what he says about Joel Embiid. Stay tuned. All right.
Oh,
that's a little tease.
Jackie's, on the job out there. We'll just, we're looking forward to that.
Please leave a message after the tone.
You know that feeling after your team has won a really big game? That sense of satisfaction, that sense that everything is going to be okay? Well, you know what also feels great? Paying off high-interest credit cards, getting a lower rate on those credit cards, and that all comes with saving money. With LightStream, you can refinance your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan. Get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there's no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Plus, LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you can have complete peace of mind. Get a fixed rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. Want to save even more? My listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get it is to go to lightstream.com/hoop. That's LightStream, LightStream.com/hoop.
Subject credit to approval rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/hoop for more information.
Okay, so also, Jackie, I just want to talk about the Celtics right here because I want to stay in the East till we go to the West. He was good in the second half of game one, I would say. Masterful in game two. And for the moment, happy, buoyant, thrilled to be a Celtic Kyrie. Will that be the case in 3 days? That I cannot confirm. But happy Kyrie, winning Kyrie, playoff Kyrie is what I've been seeing this week.
Yes, and that game two performance was why you want Kyrie Irving in your future. Because he's such a clutch player. He lives for the moment, and we know that not all players do. I will say this. The Boston Celtics are so lucky they won that game. They had no business winning that game. I mean, the Indiana Pacers are going to be tearing their hair out maybe for the next 3 months because they should have won that game. And so if you're looking at the overall Celtic picture, I'm not super comfortable with where they've been so far. You would like to think this urgency that we keep waiting for would have arrived now that we're in the postseason. And I'm telling you, had they lost this game, people would be talking about the lazy pass, that Jason Tatum and the lazy exchange between Marcus Morris and Jason Tatum. You guys remember that play? It was, I was like, what is this, game 82 in Sacramento? Or the play with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum earlier in the game? The kind of, the lack of urgency with this team, just, it just astonishes me. And it's concerning. Now, Kyrie made it all better with it just a, you know, a supernova performance, because also, and it gets less attention always, he made some great defensive plays. When your franchise player stands in there and takes a charge the way Kyrie did at a pivotal point of the game, he also caused a turnover on the Celtics sideline at a key point of the game. Those are the things I look for Kyrie, because I know he can hit all those great shots. But when he's engaged like that defensively and making big defensive plays, that's when I just think he's, you know, he's really, really special.
I also thought it was important that they didn't rely on him in the last 2 minutes to do everything. They ran some plays.
Well, they had to.
Tatum hit a shot in the corner. They ran a side out of bounds play after a timeout. Mm-hmm. It was not designed for Kyrie. Got them a basket and no harsh looks or sideways looks. So I felt like that ending also helped them.
Well, they were doubling, tripling him. And remember the layup, the free layup that Gordon Hayward got at the end of the game, and all the Pacers players are arguing with each other? That's because they were spending so much time paying attention to Kyrie. And I think our colleague Tim Bontemps pointed this out in his post-game analysis, and it's true. At the end of the game, you have to pay so much attention to him, sometimes you forget about the other guys.
Well, I would just point out that there is a hydra, a beast, a monster, boiling in Milwaukee that is waiting for the winner of this series, which is going to be Boston. And so it's a good sign, but tighten up. Got to tighten up, because
no question.
Those guys are just for real. Just for real. And I'd say the same thing to the teams in the West, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. But real quick on Giannis, this could be his moment. This could be it. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but we could emerge from these playoffs by saying this is the guy in the NBA. And it's happening, and he's just destroying. I mean, the poor Pistons. They don't have a fight.
Yeah, they don't have Blake, you know.
Giannis's playoffs start next round. We can't talk about him until next round.
They've never won a playoff
hiding him on NBA TV. If it's on NBA TV, I don't even know if it happens.
Well, these guys have never won a playoff series, so I'm paying attention to the way they're playing.
Can I just tell you that the Milwaukee Sentinel had a story about Giannis, excuse me. Was it yesterday or maybe even, I think it was yesterday, about is Giannis fatigued because he's playing so hard at both ends? Something just to mention.
They did
manage his minutes very well this year, though.
They did, exceptionally well.
Scottie Pippen was incensed yesterday on the jump. That incredible play where Giannis went from foul line to foul line in one dribble and dunked. He was incensed at what he thought was traveling. Like, even though the play was 3 days old, it was the first time he was on the show all week, he pretty much demanded that we show the highlight so that he could complain about traveling.
We don't have enough time to complain about all the Euro steps that are going on in our league at the moment, people.
All right, so McMahon, we've just praised Kyrie and Giannis. James, what James Harden is doing in your series to the poor Jazz is kind of an offensive mastery that I've rarely seen. He kind of reminds me of like Peyton Manning. I was a few years ago in a previous life, I was talking to a NFL defensive coordinator, and he was telling me the story about how they played Peyton Manning in this one game, and they showed him this look that they had only shown one time the entire season. And he immediately identified it and found the weak spot, and they scored a touchdown on the play. And the guy said he's more exacerbated than any other time in his career as a defensive coordinator, and he's won Super Bowl rings because he tried to trick Peyton and he couldn't do it. When I watch James Harden, he is doing what the Jazz want him to do. He is going to his right, and he's still killing him. He's still killing him. They show him a data set, and he solves for X right now.
Well, it'd be like if Peyton Manning could run, too, you know, because he can kill him any different way. In the first game, as a scorer, they actually got exactly what they wanted. He took, it sounds crazy, but only 10 three-point attempts, which is well below his average. Just a few free throws. He put up 26 shots and got 29 points. They will take that every single time. And he absolutely carved them up as a facilitator and got guys dunks, wide open threes, got all the, you know, Rockets complimentary players rolling, and they just blew him out. They adjusted because they were letting him in the lane way too easy. And because game one, his step back three dictated their game plan, dictated the Jazz's right. game plan. And right. it's not even forcing him right. It's sitting on his left to try to make it tougher for him to get that step back off. They adjusted, weren't as aggressive, and he just lit them up. What he did to them in the first half was terrifying. Now, second half, he kind of put it in cruise control, blah, 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 but 25-7-7 in the first half, it was just absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, people are getting on my guy, Rudy Gobert. I don't know what exactly you want out of him. I mean, he can't guard.
I don't think they're playing
guard hard and step back three. Well, no, the perimeter defense has been bad.
Rubio.
Some of the rotations have been bad.
I think Rubio is supposed to let him by. They're trying to guide him.
Well, in the first game, they went too far of extreme to where it was.
Well, in the first game, Rubio was playing behind him.
Yeah, it was, and they were essentially letting him play 5-on-4 downhill. They wanted more resistance, and then they kind of adjusted too far back the other way to where he could get to his step back. And when James Harden's hitting his step back, the Rockets are not losing. It's really that simple. If he can get his step back off and he's in a groove, the Rockets are not losing. The only way they're losing is if they run into the Warriors and KD and Steph both have a role.
I realize they haven't been maybe tight, but I'm watching their defensive scheme, and I honestly think Rubio is doing what they want him to do. And Harden is just solving for X. Like, whatever they allow, he's just saying, I will take this and kill you with it. They're trying to drive him into his weaknesses, but he doesn't have a weakness right now.
Right. Even that floater, that's the poison you want
right.
to take.
Right.
I mean, he shot 51%+ on that floater this year. I mean, look, the thing about Harden, and I don't want to get into the MVP debate because I absolutely believe that Giannis is also an unbelievably strong candidate. So this isn't about Giannis versus Harden. This is just a simple fact. James Harden won the MVP last year at age 28 and came back a significantly better player. He is a drastically improved player from a year ago. His floater's better. His step back, which already was maybe the most lethal weapon in the league, is better. He can get it off more. He's a better defensive player. He's in better shape. And, you know, to me, that's a credit. Now, he has the carrot of he's never won a championship, but still, to be that accomplished and continue to put in that kind of work to make those kind of strides, you know, that's pretty remarkable.
He is the best offensive player. That is not in question. Giannis, defensively, is where he pulls ahead, in my mind.
And the team's success. And the team's success.
Yes. Right.
But so let me just ask you, though. So this is what I always wonder about with Harden and to a lesser extent Westbrook, because I think Harden obviously is the superior player at this point. But when the games get tight, that's when I want to look at Harden and see him dominate. And it's hard to tell in this series, right, because we haven't seen that yet. So that's what I'm looking forward to, this new improved Harden that you talk about. In a tight series, when there's four or five possessions up and down the floor, and you've got to deliver, that's when I'm most interested in seeing in this postseason, Tim.
Yeah, I mean he was a Cajones Factor Player of the Month runner up last month, but that's in March. To do it in the playoffs,
you know,
is
what I'm
absolutely
saying, right?
A different beast. And look, we probably don't find that out until next round.
I don't think we do. Yeah.
I mean, maybe the Jazz can get a game here and you know, make it a gentleman's sweep, but the matchups just this the Jazz in hindsight should have tweaked with the you know, little late season tanking and gotten it. Of course, I say that. I mean, it was a shock that the Rockets fell to four. This is, point being, this is just not the matchup for the Jazz, and you know.
Well, let me just say this.
It shows
the
just
next two
how
games,
far
the next two games are in Salt Lake City, and let's see how the Rockets' ancillary players shoot, because they were shooting the lights out in Houston.
And we know what happens on the road.
Right, and the Jazz shot it as poorly as you possibly could. And as much as I want to give credit to the Rockets, who have been playing elite defense since the All-Star break, 15 of 65 from three-point range, and a lot of those were good looks. So, yeah. But, man, I mean, neither of those games were even close to competitive. But we'll see.
Well,
we'll see.
I thought going in
this would be a competitive series. I've been dead-ass wrong so far.
Yeah, but you know how this goes. You get home, everything changes. All those ancillary players that Brian's talking about, they get comfortable, they sleep in their own bed, they feel good, they go in, they get hot early, and everything can change. That's just how it is.
It is
the
it
Rockets
is crazy.
Might get sucked up into that Utah nightlife, too.
But, you know, it's one of the hardest places to play, Utah. It's a great home court advantage. It has been for decades. It will be for decades more. Will the home court advantage change things in the Thunder-Blazers series? Watching that, you know, game one was skin tight. Game two was lopsided. To me, I really thought this thing was going seven, and I'm really not ready to say that it's not. Mm-hmm. I know that Oklahoma City is not a good shooting team. I know it's their Achilles heel. I know it's their offense is what held them back in the second half when they really struggled. But even with all that acknowledged, they were even below that standard. So many good looks, so many shots that Paul George had that were wide open, clean looks, just didn't go in. And Damian, who is just as... He's playing is at the highest level he has in his career. He is, you know, he's 6 of 9 in the series from 30 feet and out. Now, I know he's Logo Lillard and all that stuff, but that is an outrageous swing too. That is, both positions I think are outliers. I suspect tonight it will tighten back up and we'll see a flip. But I don't know. Tracy McGrady, Jackie, thinks that Paul George, he's like, he's got a torn labrum. Now, he has no information on that. He's just but he had a torn labrum, and he said the way he's playing and the way he's protecting and the way he's shooting and talking about not being able to raise his arm, you know, whatever it is, there is a significant injury in there. So I don't know how much of the shooting percentage is that shoulder or not.
Right. What's Westbrook? He's 10 of 61 from behind the 3-point line. He's just been, you know.
Westbrook's been bad all year, though. That's not a surprise.
I mean,
no,
yeah,
but the whole
five
team.
Five of 20. Yeah. Okay. 5 of 20 in the last
one
game.
1 of 6 from the 3. Yeah, 1 of 6 from the 3-point line. As a team, they're 10 of 61.
They've got to have Russ. They can't have high volume, low efficiency Russ. That can't happen.
They have high volume, low efficiency team.
But can we just say, is there a bigger lock right now than Russell Westbrook showing up tonight in Game 3 and going bonkers?
You know what though, the danger with him, and I hear what you're saying, and it's kind of, you know, KD just had his little redemption game, Ben Simmons just had his. The danger with Russ though is he gets so amped up that, you know, he jacks up 28 shots and he's 9 of 28 and you know, he's got 8 turnovers and like, I worry about Russ getting too hyped.
Well, right, but isn't that been true from the moment he stepped into the league? And they win a lot of those games when he plays like that, because he, even though he's inefficient, the players around him respond to the emotion of it. I mean, they've won a lot of games with Russ shooting like that. A lot of games.
That's
true.
A lot of playoff games since KD's left, though.
That's also true. I just,
yeah.
When you look at the quality of the like, it's one thing. Sometimes, you know, we've seen Golden State at times just be just terrific defensively, and Klay is all over people, and Iguodala is all over people, and Draymond's all over people, and they have a bad shooting game, and you're like, you know, wow, that's just, they're just awesome defensively. I mean, the Blazers played well, but the so many open looks that they're missing. I just don't see this. I see the series flipping back around. I could be wrong, but I can't see it continuing this bad.
Well, I mean, they've been a bad shooting team all year long. And the other thing you got to remember,
but not this bad.
No, but the other thing you guys remember, Portland is a very good road team. They play. I think I read somewhere that from like the middle of February on, their net rating on the road was better than at home. So the Blazers are a good road team.
That's true.
They didn't win at OKC this year. Of course, they didn't beat OKC in Portland this year to the playoffs.
Right.
I know.
Right.
I also think that the Kanter problem will eventually show up. I know that in game one, Kanter's
in game
pluses,
one, they went at him.
And they just like, so Kanter, so the way Kanter is going to rebound and score and he's going to kill you in the pick and roll. And he had seven offensive rebounds in game one. He's one of the greatest offensive rebounders I've ever seen. Which is why he's still playing in the league, quite frankly.
Right.
And so basically the hedge, the bet that you're making is you're going to beat him. In game one, Kanter's offensive rebounds and overall game outweighed his defensive deficiencies, even though they attacked.
Yeah.
I'm wagering that the Kanter problem is going to show up. And that the other side of Kanter is going to show up, whether it's in game three or game four.
Kanter shows up?
It's happened before. And I love Ennis. He's a, no matter what, I don't care about the political thing. I'm going to put that aside. As an individual, a guy that I've spent time with, I like him. But if I'm looking at like an indicator panel, the indicators to me say that this has got to swing Oklahoma City's way. But I've been wrong before.
Please leave a message after the tone.
You know that feeling that you get when your team has just won a big game? The release of that pressure, the feeling of satisfaction. Well, you can get that feeling by paying off your credit cards. You can refinance your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from MightStream. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. The loans can go from $5,000 to $100,000, and there's no fees. Plus, LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you can have complete peace of mind. Get a fixed rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. Want to save even more? My listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get it is to go to LightStream.com/hoop. That's LightStream, LightStream.com/hoop.
Subject credit to approval rate excludes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstreet.com/hoop for more information.
So I was 0.0% surprised that Durant had a huge night last night. I can't tell you how much what happened in game one and two of that series reminded me of what happens sometimes when Durant played Tony Allen when he was with the Thunder. Tony Allen and Patrick Beverley are a little bit different. No, Allen was a much more physical defender, whereas Beverley is sort of a energy player and a pest. Frankly,
yeah,
Beverley
Allen's
has no
bigger,
business.
Bigger and stronger.
Yeah. Beverley has
but
no
But they're
business
both, they are both Chicago-born and
right.
raised mean pit bulls.
Right. I would want both of them on my team. And the same thing that ultimately happened. I mean, the Grizzlies, I think, did get the Thunder once, but did they? I can't remember. I thought they got them once, but
I don't believe.
Am I confusing
they did.
It? They got the Mavericks
one where,
once.
There was the one right. where Z-Bo got.
That was the series
suspended.
I covered.
It was so controversial.
Yeah.
I might.
Well, anyway,
I got them once.
I take it all back. I don't remember for sure, but I just know that. In the long run, Durant always won. And so I was, you know, and Steph got in foul trouble last night. I mean, they were already going to probably feature Durant in this game, and they came out right off the bat doing it. But Jackie, I know that Durant has struggles at times and issues, but I'm not betting against that guy. He's going to win out, and he did. And it's going to stay that way, too, I think.
Well, and he's so incredibly talented, and oftentimes the only thing that gets in his way is himself, his emotions, and we've talked about it so many times. He gets all worked up about things, and he lets them affect his play, and he's talked about it in the past. I know I've talked with him a bunch of times about it. And, you know, he just made – I think he made up his mind, I'm not going to listen. I don't care who's on the floor. I'm just going to play. And I mean, when he does that, we talk about Giannis, but when Kevin Durant is engaged and playing at his best, you could put him right up there. You know, he wasn't in anybody's MVP ballot, right? Was he on yours? Wasn't on mine. And when he has a game like this, when he has a game like this, you go back and you say,
second team.
Well, he's on your most talented ballot, but yeah, I thought Steph was more valuable than KD.
To the Warriors. Right. By the way, the Agreed. Grizzlies did get the Thunder once. It was the year that Russ was hurt. The year that Russ ran into Pat Beverly the series before that.
Okay. I knew. I thought. I was pretty sure they had gotten him once. Because I knew that the Grizzlies made the conference finals once they got swept. But I know that they made
Yeah, they beat the Thunder in 5. KD averaged 29 in that series.
And, you know, Durant obviously was the star of this game. But everything sort of settled back in, right? I mean, I always look at Draymond's line. He's not going to shoot particularly well. I don't think he was 0-for-5 from the 3-point line. Assists to turnovers, 10-0. 10-0.
That's when you know. I mean, I almost could say if you could show me one stat on, like if I could just show up for a Warriors game, like 4 minutes left in the first half, and you could just show me one stat and I can tell you how its game's going, it's the Warriors' turnovers.
Always.
Because I still genuinely believe that in a series, maybe not on an individual night, but in a series, to actually have a chance to beat them, they've got to beat themselves. They've got to, you know, go with the thing where Steph's throwing stupid passes and Draymond's, you know, all over the place and somebody gets ejected. You know, I don't think that another team can beat them, you know, unless there's injuries. I also feel like,
the Rockets would disagree, but I hear you.
12
but
turnovers,
they didn't
though. They had 12 turnovers in this game. 12.
Unbeatable.
You live with
unbeatable
that.
At that level.
Yeah, you live with that all day, every day. And by the way, the Clippers only had 12 themselves. But
can
Durant,
I just say something, though?
Durant had five of them, by the way. Can I just tell you Durant had five of those 12 turnovers?
Yeah, he had high
those
usage.
Kind of five turnover performances any time. Give 30, me 38 efficient
just,
points you can
just,
turn it over
just
five point, times.
I'm just pointing it out. That's all.
Can I just say something, McMahon? It's not really to you, but
it's your podcast. I mean, yeah.
I've been listening to this for 50 weeks now. The Rockets didn't beat the Warriors. I know that.
They did. I'm just telling you, they absolutely are 100% confident that they can. They
Let
feel
me ask
like
you
they
this.
Should. You can't rewrite that. That's over. They feel like they are a better team now than they were a year ago. They beat
I agree
three
with
out of four this year, once without Harden, once without CP3. And I'm just telling you, when these teams meet next round, assuming things don't go haywire, when these teams meet next round, the Rockets aren't going to go out there hoping to make it competitive. They're going to go out there absolutely believing they are the better team and will win the
They
series.
Are a better team this year
well,
than
I would,
last year.
I would hope they would. I mean, why is that news? My God, why are they in the league if they don't think they're – I mean, come on. That's crazy.
But last year's team won, what, 60?
Up believing they could beat the Warriors? Do you think any other team outside of maybe Milwaukee would show up in a series thinking they could beat the Warriors?
Yeah, I do.
Milwaukee.
I absolutely do. Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, whether they're right or not, Philly, whether they're right or not is entirely another conversation. But yes, I do. What every team feels when they're playing their best, they can beat everybody. Now, the problem
the Cavs
is most teams don't play
chance.
Their best. Yeah.
The Cavs thought they had a chance against the Warriors last year. They were dead wrong, but they thought they had a chance.
Yeah.
McMahon, I'm interested that you brought this up because I was talking with somebody who knows the league really well just this week, and you know how many games did the Rockets win last year? 66? 64? 65.
Yeah, 65 last year. There, so a dozen wins fewer this year. Of course, they got off to the horrific start. They completely remade the bench during the regular season. The long Capella injury absence. You know, CP3 has been hurt both years.
Brought Pizdelic back. Don't forget that.
Brought Bezdelic back. Yeah, decided, oh, gee whiz, maybe that few hundred grand that he asked for extra is worth it for a, you know.
Love Jeff Bezdelic.
You think this team's better than last year's team?
I do.
Maybe just because of Harden being better?
Like I said earlier, I think Harden's gotten significantly better. I think Capella continues to kind of make strides. Honestly, I do think CP3's lost, even now that he's playing well, I think he's just lost maybe a quarter step. Earlier in the season, looked like a full step, maybe a quarter step. But I think that, and it's a miracle because the bench was so horrific early in the season, but I think they've got a better bench than they did last year at this time. Remember, Mbah Mute, Michael Carter Williams starring.
The Rockets gave up on him, starring for the Magic.
Do you want to tell me about James Ennis in Philly too?
No,
you want to tell me about?
No,
you want to tell me
don't
about Melo on Instagram? Is he on Instagram? I don't know.
But to
be able to completely scrap your summer mistakes and get Austin Rivers, get Kenneth Faried, you know, Daniel House has been an absolute revelation for them. So I feel like their bench is better. But yeah, I mean the main thing is it's crazy. James Harden was the MVP last year and he made another jump this season. I mean, he led the league in scoring last year and averaged 6 points per game more this year. it's ridiculous. And, they stunk defensively for the first half of the season, but since the All-Star break, the only team that's been better than them defensively, was the Jazz. And obviously that has not been the case in the playoffs.
Well, I got to tell you that I think the best general managers in the league are the ones who are constantly trying to improve their team. Daryl Morey is, you know, he leads the world in in-season transactions in the last decade. But Jackie,
I have one question. Can I just ask Tim one question? So I know James is averaging 33 minutes, I think, in the postseason so far. Is that correct, Tim? I think, right? About 33%?
Sounds right.
33 minutes a game. So does the high usage rate, the high miles, does it come into play here at some point? I'm just asking.
And first of all, 33 is a great number for him.
No, it's unbelievable. It's perfect.
It's an all-season long thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
it's an all-season long thing. And it's not only the minutes and the usage rate, but how hard he has to work. Like, a lot of James Harden usage possessions are him dribbling the ball for 20 seconds and making something happen. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, there's absolutely a concern there, and I wrote about it. You know, his answer and the Rockets' answer will be, yes, it's something that we have been mindful of, and that's why, you know, he has put this work in. Like, look, the other night, you know, he gets his 30-point triple-double, you know, his teammates are doing interviews. Harden's in the back getting a workout in it. And that's something he's done all season long.
Right.
And so, you know, we'll see. He's put in the work, but we'll see. But to that point, and also the CP3, you know, constant concerns about durability, I think just in terms of giving them their best possible chance to win the West, I think it's actually better that they would see the Warriors in the second round instead of a round later in the West Finals. Now, you know, for their bottom line, I mean, could that cost Tillman Fertitta, you know, $10, $12, $15 million in revenue from another round of playoffs? Absolutely, because they're not going to be favored going into that series. But I think they have a better chance, especially if they can finish the Jazz off early, to see the Warriors sooner than later, just because they'll be fresher.
I have no idea whether that's true, whether that's spin, but it sounds good.
That's why we have him on, man.
Well, I mean, it's my
theory.
No,
I mean, right. I can't deny
your biggest concerns with the Rockets are Harden wearing down and CP3 getting hurt. And, I mean, it can still happen, but it's simple math. Even I can do that math.
Hello. No one is available to take your call.
Andrew, have you noticed as we got to adulthood that in drugstores, they actually put the razors in those little plastic don't steal me boxes? And sometimes they're not only are they in those don't steal me boxes, they're in another box that you have to hail somebody over to open the box just to get to the don't steal me box. Because razors are like the most expensive things you can get in a drugstore now. Like that and like makeup. are things that are getting stolen because they're so expensive. Well, Dollar Shave Club has put a stop to that. And not only will Dollar Shave Club give you a great deal on all your needs to look, feel, and smell great, but you don't have to go to the store to get them and get the outer box unlocked and the little box around the razors and other products unlocked, because they will send them right to you so you're fully stocked and never run out. They've got everything you need to get ready, no matter what you're getting ready for. Head to toe for your hair, your skin, and your face. You name it, they have it. And now they have a new program where they automatically keep you stocked up on the products you use. You determine what you want, and when you want it, it shows up right at your door from once a month to once every 6 months. And also, they've got this new toothpaste. You can have it set up automatically sent to you. You'll never run out. I hate when you run out of toothpaste and you're like, you always forget to buy it, and then you're squeezing every last little drop and going inside the cap. That'll never happen. It'll make your mouth feel great all day long, especially their peppermint flavor, which is my favorite. And of course, Andrew, this doesn't apply to me, but it applies to you. The handsome discount, where the more you buy, the more you save. And right now they've got a bunch of starter sets you can try for just $5, like their oral care kit. After that, the restock box ships regular size products at their regular price. So what are you waiting for? Get your starter set for just $5 right now at Dollar Shave Club at dollarshaveclub.com/hoop. That's dollarshaveclub.com/hoop.
Brian, what's a drugstore?
Soon you will. Oh, that's what you'll be saying. So I want to spend a little bit of time before you have to go here on Denver, San Antonio. I didn't get to see much of this game last night because I was flying. I only got to see maybe 6 minutes or so. I just saw Derek White put on what I assume was the game of his life. I see DeJounte Murray throwing down windmill dunks in practice the other day, and then I see Derek White, and I realize, Spurs might be okay going forward.
Might not be bad. Yeah.
Right.
Jackie, I didn't see what, and I know you were working last night. I didn't see what Pop or the Spurs put out to slow down Jamal Murray, but I just know he couldn't even shoot. He also, in the stretch of the game I was looking at, it looked like he was stretching out his back or something. He didn't look like
he's had trouble with his back.
On.
Yeah, he's had trouble with his back. And, Jamal's not, I don't know how else to say this, he's just not quite there yet. And so he can have a big game like he had and then come back and have a game of this nature. And that's just because he's young and he's still figuring out. Here's what I would say about that game, Brian. If you were the Denver Nuggets and I told you you were going to shoot nearly 52% from the three-point line, and then Jokic was going to have 22, 7, and 6. And you were going to shoot 52% for the game. You would say you're going to win, right? Wouldn't you say you were going to win? And all those things happen.
No, because the game's in San Antonio, and they never win in San Antonio.
Right. But I'm talking from a statistical standpoint.
15 of 29 on 3. I'm just looking at it.
Yeah. I mean, you think you're going to win.
That's a winning stat.
But this won't surprise you at all. Guess how many turnovers the Spurs had? 6. 3 of them by Rudy Gay, by the way. 6 turnovers. Derek White had 1 turnover in that fantastic performance. And here's where they won the game. 23-9 scoring from the line. The Denver went 9 of 17 from the free throw line. Are you kidding me? Can't happen in a postseason game. Just can't. You need more free throws, and you got to make them when you get the chance.
Not on the road.
Yep. And that's what Larry Bird was saying. It was interesting when I was talking to Larry about the Pacers. He's like, well, I told Kevin Pritchard the downfall is going to be free throws, because with young teams, when you miss free throws, then everybody starts missing them. I thought that was an interesting point. He was talking about the Pacers, but I think it applied to the Denver Nuggets too. They're just, it goes back to what we were saying before, experience, right? Tim, you called this series before it started. Experience.
And yes, at the same time, the matchup that was obviously just ridiculously lopsided, 36-6 in the scoring for the starting point guards. And Derek White didn't have NBA playoff experience. Now, they asked him about it last night. He goes, I did this in the G League playoffs last year. It's not like I don't have playoff experience. Wow. So in his mind, it's like,
what an incredible game he had.
Shout out to Kurt Goldsberry.
Yeah,
right. He loves to talk about how important the Austin Spurs are.
Oh, they invest in that. And you know what? It's helped develop Murray. It's helped develop Derek White. You know, we'll see what Lonnie Walker turns into. But, for Jamal Murray to have that fourth quarter he did the other night and then, you know, strut in, he's wearing the NBA Jam t-shirt with his face on it after that game. Barkley makes fun of him, so he struts in with a Barkley t-shirt, last night. You know what? He has to wear a Derek White t-shirt to the arena for game four. Yeah. That's the rules. When you get cooked like that, that's the rules.
Mm. Yeah, really this is kind of in Jamal.
This is kind of in the weeds, and I'm not saying this would make a difference, but, you know, the Nuggets were a better defensive team when Will Barton was hurt, and they were starting Torrey Craig, and Torrey Craig is like a potentially elite-level wing defender, and, you know.
He played great last night, Brian. Torrey Craig did off the bench. He played really well.
Yeah, he was, I mean, I did not see the whole game. He's plus 25 in the game. Barton is minus 23. I mean, Gary Harris is minus 27.
Yeah, I mean, Barton's struggling. We all know that. He's struggling shooting the ball.
And I know, you know, Malone went on a what I thought was a pretty impassioned and, you know, it taught us something about him the other day, about him sticking with Jamal Murray, even though he was really struggling, about how it's important to send the message that you believe in your young players.
Yeah,
I wonder if he will consider, and again, this is pretty deep into the Nuggets. You know, I just, when I talk to scouts, they say Malone needs to play Torrey Craig more, and the less he plays Torrey Craig, the more I think the Spurs are happy.
So you know what? He should play Malik Beasley more too.
I was going to say Beasley's a player.
Yeah. So you know what the bench totals were, guys? Just for argument's sake here, 50. Give me a minute here. 50
Not nearly
to 19.
As much.
50 to 19. But Denver bench,
by the way,
the Spurs bench.
By the way, as much as the spotlight has been on Jamal Murray and Will Barton, Paul Millsap, the one rotation player who they have in Denver who's got a ton of playoff experience, had a rebound last night at Uno
31
in 29 minutes and was a minus 32. Team worst minus 32.
Fair point.
Yeah, and he was. I think he was supposed to be a big part of the game plan going into San. He actually
was
played
in foul trouble
well
too,
first.
Though. He's in foul trouble.
Yeah. But Jackie, do you see? I mean, to me, I watched almost all the first two games, and Jamal Murray's white hot finish notwithstanding.
Right.
San Antonio just looks like they have it more together right now, and they did last night.
Experience. Yep, experience. Yeah. It really does feel that way to me. Experience from top to bottom. And I you know, I feel for the Denver Nuggets because I think they really did have it's not over yet. They've had an incredible year. And talk about developing and finding players. You know, the Spurs get credit for that, but let's talk about their Torrey Craig and Monty Morris and Malik Beasley. They've done the same thing. You know what I was wondering?
Without a G League team.
Right. I mean, they really, I like some of the players. What I was wondering, and maybe it's a panic move, but, you know, Isaiah Thomas is sitting there, he's a DMP again, and I understand that. But, you know, when you're struggling to score, now they shot 52% from the floor, okay? But at some point, do you take a flyer on Isaiah Thomas compounding?
No.
I don't think so.
No, because then Derek White will get 56 instead of 36.
Right, exactly. Yeah, but I'm just,
Jackie, you've got to go to practice, but
I do.
I'm just going to say, this is why the Lakers' collapse was so really disappointing, and why I always talked about the Lakers' cone of uncertainty. Because had the Lakers snuck into the back end of these playoffs, let's say they had gotten the seventh seed, okay, that was about where they could have gone. They could have drawn the Nuggets in the first round, and I think LeBron would have toyed with them if he was 100%. And this could have been the Lakers. And also it wasn't, you know, Ingram got
Brian, here's my first shenanigan since my return from surgery. That's a stretch, my friend, because they weren't even close to being in the eighth playoff spot. They were.
I know, but they shut down.
Can't do it. So I got to shut
this
you
is my
down.
Point.
We can't play this game. Not fair to the other teams.
I'm just saying that, like, this is why the Lakers ridiculous play after the All-Star break, they should even be more upset because there was a vulnerable team in this top half, and they could have gotten in there and they could have done something.
Well, the Lakers are the number one seed in Cancun right now.
There we go. Hey, just real quickly,
actually,
we do have to
he's
run.
In Cabo.
But are you hearing what I'm hearing? Are you guys hearing what I'm hearing in L.A., that Jeannie Buss is swinging for the fences? I keep hearing this. I don't know about you. I keep hearing it. Now, what does that mean? And as much as I love Ty Lue, and I do, I have great respect for him, and I know you do too, Brian, that's not swinging for the fences. So what does that mean? Let's be wildly speculative for a moment. Does it mean Coach K? Does it mean bringing Riles back to L.A.? What does that mean, swinging for the fences?
Well,
I'm being
right
wildly speculative.
Got,
I want to be clear. I want to be clear. This no, is I'm
don't
not
aggregate.
Reporting anything.
Don't aggregate.
Not. I'm being wildly speculative.
Right now, Rob Pelinka is conducting the interviews for the coaches.
Okay, that's fine.
So that's all I'm going to say.
I'm just saying, what does that mean? Swinging for the fences. Give it some thought, everybody.
Jackie's playing a little game here. All right, thank you, Jackie. Thank you,
love
band
you guys.
Man.
Have
Timothy.
A great day.
Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast.